any case, I'm going to break tradition here. I need an M&M.
God. Eating the prizes early.
I have to admit.
What are we even doing here?
I have to admit, I was really, really tempted to do that myself. So.
Well, that rules for production staff are different from the rules of the talent. They provided the prizes, they get to have access to them when they want to, and otherwise, they take our drugs away.
I thought the production staff was the talent.
I was going to say, farting around. The only talent displayed here is...
No, we wrote it down, so we're actually doing science.
Oh. Well, wait, that's only for keeping score.
That wasn't even on the script.
Yeah, we are presently ahead of, as in we're doing this...
Did it give you a script?
I'm never on script.
They gave me a script, but I had to burn it after I read it.
What is best in life? Facts, but better.
I can't do the Waka Chicka right now. I'm just
see,
a little.
This way you can just dub straight over our musical intro.
I seriously
remove
think,
it completely.
I seriously think you should edit more of us out. I think there are moments that we could really trim the fat here. In fact, it probably could just be an announcer. And I think that would be fantastic.
That would be a pretty good episode where we just have, you know, the announcer read a question, and then there's like 6 or 7 minutes of dead air so that the audience at home can answer it amongst themselves, yeah. And then the next question.
Those viewers at home can answer this yourself. I'll leave this in space. Write that down in your copy book.
Yeah.
That would actually be an interesting show to run. Just let everyone here in the studio have a day off.
Yeah, well, and it's a bright spot to it as well. Nice little bonus is everyone gets to do a performance of John Cage's 4 minutes 33 seconds.
There is that, yeah, but... Oh, no, we cannot afford the licensing on that.
It's okay. He open-sourced it.
I can never get that far.
And then the other thing is that we actually get through a full script.
That doesn't happen.
You got a script?
Didn't you?
I burned it.
Oh, that's your own damn fault.
Oh, you burned the notice. I get it.
Welcome to Facts But Better. I am Un, and I will be your moderator. Now, let's introduce our panel tonight. You there in the talkative shirt. Who are you, and what is your greatest regret?
I am Electric Kate, and my greatest regret is that I didn't nab some M&Ms from that bag right there when I had the chance.
I am Kelsey, your friendly neighborhood husky bot, and my greatest regret is not taking the shot.
I am M, and my greatest regret is burning the script.
I'm Soli, a.k.a. Mar, and a plush. My greatest regret is forgetting my answer to this question when it was first asked years ago.
I am Soreth, and my greatest regret is actually answering this question.
All right.
Harsh, man.
Harsh. Life is harsh. Wear a hat.
Or be a plush.
I sometimes do.
Yes,
well, plush. Then you're ahead of the game.
I'm ahead of the game.
Well, then. We've had enough of the strange candy as prizes for now, so tonight's prize is a regular old bag of dark chocolate peanut M&Ms. Sorry, but sacrifices do have to be made to keep the show under budget.
Wait a second. We have a budget? People are getting paid?
I had a budget, but I burned it.
You got a real problem with the whole burning thing.
Sorry, kind of a pyromaniac here.
Our budget is in that bag over there, and it's mostly chocolate.
Wait.
Yeah.
So we're working for peanut?
Yes. Yeah. Well, but there's chocolate also. And a hard candy shell.
And it
peanuts
does,
and cacao.
Okay.
It does say on one of my many wiki pages that I can be bribed and will work for chocolate.
You wrote that yourself. That's not from a reliable source. That doesn't count.
That wasn't a wiki. That was
the
your
most
CV.
Reliable source. What?
That wasn't a wiki. That was your CV.
Oh, yeah. I think it's on both.
I don't have one of those. I just have a wiki page.
You didn't burn that?
No.
Records smell bad.
Now then, I'll be sticking to my arbitrary fiat rule that the new fish keeps score. So, Sole, you will be our scorekeeper for this game. Please use your position of authority to grift as much as you can off the other contestants.
Also, you are apparently aquatic today.
I am?
Yeah,
you're
a new fish.
Oh, well, it could be a fish. A weird fish.
Our main topic for tonight will be glorious capitalism. Please remember this main topic. There will be a quiz at the end of the program.
Oh, yay!
This is glorious capitalism. Glorious capitalism. It's so glorious. By definition, it's glorious. We have to be happy about it.
Glorious capitalism, comrade.
It's the best capitalism money can buy.
So, not capitalism. Awesome.
And for our first subtopic today, advertising. You are the glorious CEO of Amalgamated Conglomerates Incorporated. Please describe how you would market the following. Number one, Axe Body Spray to merpeople.
Axe Body Spray. It kills that nasty...
You are a fish today.
I am a fish!
Are you a merpeople?
I'm a merpeople.
Oh.
It's close enough. Axe Body Spray. It kills nasty groin barnacles dead.
Very good.
See, I would go with a more visual approach. I would account for the extended visual range of merpeople by having a line of bottles that were, you know, like dark gray and black and I guess the only colors that get used for those sorts of products anyhow.
The easiest thing to do is to just translate an already existing commercial. So what's going to happen is you'll see one mer person being followed by a whole bunch of other mer people because they've doused themselves in the mer axe, which is making the water taste great as the other people following behind them have to ingest it through their mer lungs.
Well, I'm sold.
I mean, yeah, it's... You know, I guess it's what is their current advertising thing anyhow? I mean, Axe Body
If you
spray,
spray it, the, you get
if
laid.
You, spray it, you get laid.
That's basically it.
There's also the.
Do fish really get laid? I mean, laid? Is that the term for? Because they're kind of floating there.
No, they just pretty much spawn. Also, I'm pretty sure this was the plot line to one of the 1960s Fantastic Four comics with Namor's first appearance.
Hmm. I can see that.
Yeah.
Axe Body Spray. It washes off in water, but you're really doing it for the status anyway.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't want it to stay on your body. That stuff's nasty.
And for our next advertising exercise, Cold Iron to the Fae.
Mutually assured destruction.
Are you a masochist? Are you a Fae? Do you like holding things that give you pain? Here's some iron. Try some iron. You might not burst into flames.
You see, you're missing a real, real obvious way here. What you do, you're thinking cold iron as like, what, a mace or something? Or maybe an arrowhead? You've got to think a lot smaller. The more you dilute it, the more powerful a medicine it becomes. Mm. What you do is you introduce homeopathic remedies to the Fae. Next thing, it's easy. You just say that, like, a teacher invented it or something. They'll eat that shit up.
Oh, right, it's just like put a drop of your own blood in there. It's already diluted.
And when they start suffering problems from the cold iron, you know, you just offer them... I don't know, what else? Is there anything else that Fae are particularly concerned about?
Thimblefuls of honey?
Flowers?
Oh, yeah. There you go. You just...
This seems a little overwrought for iron supplements.
Oh. Oh!
But don't...
I think you found my cold iron.
And that was the first groan of the evening.
Remember? No, it was not.
It was mine.
Cold.
Very well, then. Next, everybody's talking about pop music.
I'm not.
Please explain the origin of the lyrics to the following songs. Number one, Triffy Lollipop's number one hit, A Good Quark Is Hard to Find.
Triffy Lollipop is the stage name of noted CERN scientist Gordon Freeman. He moonlights as a K-pop singer, and this was his first release single off of his debut album.
Because it turns out he really likes cheese.
It really sounds like a drag queen name, too.
He is.
Yeah.
Gordon Freeman?
I mean, there's a reason you never see, like, a mirror or anything in the games.
Yeah. Mm. But why is a good quark hard to find?
Because they're too damn small.
Use really tiny tweezers.
Also, this goes back to one of the first pranks that was pulled on Gordon Freeman back in CERN, and it was specifically, or not CERN. It was
Black Mesa. He probably worked for CERN before that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very early on when they were still sort of figuring this stuff out, and someone actually told him to go find a quark, specifically a good one.
Oh, specifically a left-handed quark.
Yeah, and so it was just like, you know, the Snape chases or whatever.
Sharks. trying to find headlight fluid.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, one of those things.
Joke's on them, because he went on to find not only good and bad quarks, but left and right, bright and dark, and jelly and peanut butter quarks.
That's right.
They're all named because of him.
That's right. And that's why you always send your main characters on inane tasks. Always.
Yep. Well, they either get some epic loot or they'll further the plot. It's how it starts, always.
Except when it doesn't. An alien invasion that they started.
Mm-hmm. And for our next little number, Google AI number 872's auto-generated tune, Why Is My Poop Green?
So, Google found YouTube, which at this point is primarily comprised of YouTube poops. And the rest is history, really.
So, this might be an urban legend. I haven't actually run it myself, but I'm led to understand that it's actually just completely generated out of a specific algorithm, and the random seed F00BADF00D.
Ooh, that could do it.
I think it was also, like, this is the shortened version of Ode to a Small Green Lump of Putty I Found in My Armpit One Midsummer's Morning.
No. Google AI 872's tune causes people to throw up, not to chew their own limbs off in a, you know, valiant attempt to escape.
Right.
I thought that was
873.
I just thought this was Deep Dream getting about as deep as the rest of us.
Well, I'm apparently a fish, so I'm pretty deep.
It depends on which kind of fish you are. There's lots of them.
You do say a lot of things I can't fathom.
Wait, wasn't 872...
Good one.
Wasn't 872's AI, like, seeded? Like the Deep Dreams thing is seeded with, like, dogs for some reason. Wasn't this one seeded with, like, AMSR videos? And there was some sort of, you know, weird crossover between, like, wrapping paper and people speaking really quietly that it just somehow extrapolated this instead.
Well, I mean, they did do that one song that was actually just a giant pile of bubble wrap being run over by a steamroller.
It's a really popular one. It got, like, thousands of hits.
Oh, yeah.
They are doing incredible things with Markov chains these days, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, a Markov chain is my best friend.
I have a child, Markov chain.
Yeah.
And she's ready to take on the presidency. Pretty sure.
That is a low bar to clear.
All I know is when I'm Markov, I just want to give him some handkerchiefs and some cold medicine.
Well, that's very, very kind and generous of you.
Thank you.
It's very something.
On that note, our next subtopic will be Marvel's Infinite Crisis. Please describe the following events involving superheroes. Number 1, Mindtaker Gorlox's adventures in Philately.
Well, when your power starts off being the fact that you can adhere to anything, despite the name Mindtaker, you know, it is an adventure in Philately because it's like, okay, you want to put this stamp here, oh, and now it's stuck to your finger. They already have adhesive on them. Next thing you know, you've got stamps all over you, some of them more valuable than you are, and, well, that's when the hijinks begin.
Well, I think Gorlox also teamed up with that other superhero named Waste, whose power is to just make things moist, which is perfect if you're collecting stamps, because you're just like, oh, maybe, hey, make this entire sheet moist, and I'll just stick them down.
I just had a terrible thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I just had
Waste found work again?
I mean, not Gorlox isn't exactly big times. He's maybe like level C, but still.
Well, I mean, that's
bigger C-List is bigger than Moist ever got.
That's true. It's true.
So Moist is now an assistant to a C-List.
Yeah. And also, there's some level of relation, because, I mean, Gorlox is Mentok's brother.
Oh.
Mentok the Mindtaker.
You know, I actually used to live in the same apartment building as Mindtaker Gorlox.
No kidding.
You still have your mind?
Oh, I still have my mind, but I no longer possess those memories.
Oh.
Although you remembered that they were there.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, there's just a big empty hole of, like, I don't know what happened, but it was a thing.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea what went on, but I know that I was there.
What happens when you try to recall those memories?
Everything just kind of slips around it, and there's not really anything there that I can think of, no real content. It's actually shockingly like recording one of these.
Hmm. I was going to say, that sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Spores.
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 Moving right along, our next Infinite Crisis, Super Gorgon's hazardous trip through the mirrored halls of the Davis County Fair.
Now, see, when I first saw that headline, I thought it was going to be in Davis County, California, but it was actually a county where Jim Davis grew up that changed its name, and the whole thing is Super Gorgon being horrified in the Hall of Mirrors, where every reflection is nothing but distorted visions of Garfield.
You're thinking of the retelling of that story that was part of the, you know, the Gorgon lineup. You had the Gorgon Six. Do you remember, you know, that series?
That's the only one I was familiar with, was the reboot.
Okay, well, that's the problem, is there was the original Super Gorgon's Hazardous Trip Through the Mirrored Halls of the Davis County Fair, which actually did take place in Davis County. But when they rewrote it, they tried to kind of cash in on the ironic, everything's not quite what you think, sort of reboots of old properties, and so...
Hang on, yeah. you're forgetting one in the middle there, though. There was the Dark and Gritty reboot in the 90s that involved it being actually inside of Jim Davis.
Ooh. Yeah, Image was doing some stuff at the time.
It's from Troma Films. It's like a cult classic.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
A cult classic, maybe.
Yeah. And the only thing I think I can think of here is that Super Gorgon, I don't know where they must have found all the little tiny blindfolds for each individual snake.
Etsy.
Yeah. It didn't exist at that time.
I mean, haven't you looked on Amazon?
Where do you think it gets started?
The movie's like set in the 80s, so...
One of the things that they do now is they'll reuse old brand names so they can get the established date back further than what it actually was. They'll find something, buy the rights to it, and then just say, it's established since 1920, whatever.
That's fair. So, yeah.
Moving on, for our next subtopic, physics. Please explain how the following occurs. An object in motion tends to stay in motion until it passes by a Walgreens.
I actually have an idea about this one. Walgreens specifically, was running a trial where they were carrying a new psychoactive pharmaceutical, and it leaked psychically.
So you ended up with a bunch of people suddenly all stopping and
drawn in.
And that's why they would just stand there and stop, waiting for...
They had to put a roadblock outside, because people in the cars would be just suddenly just stop the car. And
actually, they were waiting for the gym rate to start, right? They were all playing Pokemon Go.
They were pretty small back in those days, and so that really changed everything. That's why there's no mom-and-pop pharmaceutical shops anymore.
Now, see, here's what I thought it was, because I've seen it happen. What happens outside of Walgreens and most pharmacies these days is... all the receipts that are like 8, 9, 10 feet long that people just throw away wherever as soon as they get out the door, they kind of congeal into these nets, these areas of force where you can't literally progress through them, and they'll just stay there trapping stuff around the Walgreens.
Yeah, that was their secondary plan after the government, of course, realized what was going on and stop them.
There's actually good money to be had. You swing by the local, you know, drug stores of various kinds, because they all do that now. Collect all those, bags full of the wadded up receipts, and you actually just compress them together until they form, you know, infinite density, and then you have little black holes you can sell.
You know,
is that where you're getting your money from?
Oh gosh, yeah. You think I work for a living?
Oh no, I'm not saluting you.
You know. You all have some great conspiracy theories, but I think you're overlooking the simplest possible answer to this.
We always do that.
An object in motion tends to stay in motion until it passes by Walgreens, because there's a stop sign on that corner.
Or a stoplight.
Jeez. I'm not getting in the car with any of you.
I'm clearly misremembering, because I've burned the script, and so I thought it said Waldrug when I read this last time. And, I mean, the reason people stop there is because there's signs in, like, 300 miles in all directions to say stop at Waldrug.
Because aliens make you do it.
Yeah.
I suppose it is the aliens, but they do it through the subliminal advertising, because you get bombarded going and coming out of South Dakota.
All the side of the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like the Burma Shave guys.
Except it also has the same
thing.
So much
money, but they don't have those signs around anymore.
Which is really sad, because some of those were super creative.
Yeah.
And for our second little nugget of physics joy, an atom can have a positive, negative, neutral, leftist, sanguine, or new wave charge.
Isn't that related to the quarks that Gordon Freeman found?
No, the quarks are slightly different. Keith named the flavors earlier. These are actual atoms.
I know, but the quarks in those atoms determine the charge.
The ratio of them do.
Yeah.
You know, however Adam wants to identify, I think we should let them.
Adam identifies new wave for the most part.
That's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Adam identified as new particle.
Damn you, Heisenberg! I mean, we've got to draw a line somewhere, and you can't just turn your average particle into a photon.
I don't want to get into too much detail.
Look, they're just not made that way.
But it's already...
There was an incident at the H-bar, and everything changed after that.
Yeah. Well, it has been scientifically proven that, you know, particles can be particles or new waves.
I want to know what happened to the old waves, because that seems like a mine of cultural information and significance that we just kind of ignored and let a part of our history die, and I think that was a mistake.
It died out too soon, because they were short waves.
Well, also, if you go about 30 light years that direction outside of Earth, you'll probably catch up to them.
Yeah, you can still get a few on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. You can totally find the old waves out there. I mean, after all, why contain it? It's cool.
And on to our final round. What was our main topic? The one who gets it correct gets the same thing they get every show, to eat the candy in front of the microphone and tell us how it tastes.
I don't want to say it.
Glorious socialism?
Yes, glorious socialism.
Spores?
No, it was...
I'm a couple spores, episodes behind.
It was glorious something. Maybe it was glorious spores.
Yes.
Glorious spores.
Spurious.
The wide
glorious
spurious capitalism. There you go. That's what it was.
Spurious capitalism.
It's glorious spores. She wrote that book on mycology.
Spores, glorious spores.
Right. It's the name of my aunt. I think she wrote that.
Oh, glorious spores?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was your aunt.
Yeah.
Huh.
I didn't realize that, you know, that your family name was, you know, actually came from spores, you know, sort of a mutation of that. Is that what's going on? Sort of adapting it to the human tongue or something?
Well, yeah, no, it's a variant of spork.
Oh, okay. Wait, spork? Spork or spork?
Spark. But spork.
I'll never get that one right. I'm sorry.
There's some sort of weird little bit above it, and I get it wrong half the time, too.
The best thing about a spork is if you put a hole in the middle of the bowl and then give it two arms off to the sides, then you have a spork-onk, the spunk.
So who got the most points?
Scorekeeper?
I think we all got an equal number of points then.
I got an equal number of jelly quarks.
I think that's how things work under glorious whatever. Glorious.
All right, so I wrote everyone down, and I have assigned points, and we all got one.
Hey, cool, we get to share the prize.
I think I confused attendance.
No, I got 12.
Damn it. Okay, well, M just won.
Okay.
I just edited the scoreboard.
Oh, okay then.
So it wasn't high security.
Are you going to share the prize with us? Do we get to share the prize?
I'll share it on a socialism basis.
Your hubris has cursed you because it's actually a ranking. You came in 12th.
Ooh.
Oh! Everyone but M just won?
Yeah. Oh, is it kind of like golf? You know, higher score means...
I'm under par, apparently.
Kind of messed it up.
That was one heck of a petard hoist. I hope you enjoy the new heights that you have reached.
But that's okay, because
I wasn't hungry for peanuts anyway.
But we all took 12, so...
Well,
we're all
on mine.
Say what?
Oh, but if it's socialism, then we're all...
Yeah, we tied for 12th, so we all get some of the M&Ms.
Sure.
12.
Yeah.
We all get 12 M&Ms.
Sure. Okay.
12-dimensional chess. I win every time.
Well, as usual, I do not have a fully developed mouth, so have at it.
Yay!
Okay, how are you doing these days?
Okay.
Well, I've received no additional promotions as of yet, but... There was a certain shorthandedness in the fungal department today, so I am filling in for the destroying angel. Do not eat me, please.
how do you react to the idea that there actually is a budget for this show? Or a script, for that matter.
Do you have developed enough eye spots
to see the changing of times? Do we have to wipe your mind afterwards?
Again?
I think I'll just be feeding a piece of myself to the upper management.
You're running out of you.
Well, sacrifices have to be made if you want to reach for the top.
No way. The announcer has way more biomass than they used to.
And we have been discussing spores, so...
We are also talking about trimming the fat, so... There's some biomass.
I think it's mostly, like, that chitin-y stuff.
Oh. And spores.
Oh, plenty of those.
Spores.
I never played that game.
What?
Spore.
Oh, okay. I was thinking... See, you said spores... I was thinking there's like a game from, what, 1974, 1975 called Spores. Everyone has a dish. Like, it's kind of a Lazy Susan setup sort of thing, although it was made really cheaply because there's just this little plastic knob that holds together the cardboard pieces. And then you put the Petri dish on it. It's supposed to balance out. And then you spin it around. And then you read from the cards. And you pick a name at random from the people there. And they have to answer the question. Or lick the Petri dish.
Ew!
I think I played that once in college, and I don't know what happened that night, but I
woke is up that
smelling the, of agar.
Was that this in the same dorm that you were roommates with Mindtaker Gorgon?
Oh, no, that was after college in the apartment building. I do understand, though, that with the rise of those MOBA things, that eSports is getting to be a bigger and bigger thing.
Mm.
It's a big business. There's, like, whole conventions downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And now, before we go, I'd like to remind you that whoever you are, wherever you're from, there's a teriyaki joint here in Seattle with a delicious meal waiting for you. That's all for now. Have your death cap spayed or neutered, and thank you for enjoying facts, but better.
The thing is, it depends on the day you check, because these teriyaki places are fickle. Like any place where you haven't accidentally already at least twice tried to call up an order or something, or stop by and visit, if you haven't accidentally gotten there when they were already closed for the day, because it's like, oh, hey, we take Monday off. We're not open on Mondays, or we're not open on Wednesday, but they all take a day off.
I've heard you can actually figure out which religious cult they're a member of by tracking the days that they're not open.
That seems reasonable and lends even more evidence to my theory that all the teriyaki joints in Seattle are run by one family. All of their graphics on their menu are basically the same. They use the same 12 pictures for all the items that they have on their menu. Like, the font choice is the same. It just, they all look the same thing. Their signs that they have up front are teriyaki name, just to distinguish themselves because they have to. But it's the same font, the same style. And I'm pretty sure that there's more going on in Seattle's teriyaki scene than they're telling us.
It might be that they all just came from the same place at around the same time. Nah.
It's actually just one teriyaki joint that each individual one you see is actually just like a three-dimensional shadow of a single four-dimensional teriyaki joint when you step inside.
The dining rooms inside are the separate... But the kitchen's all shared.
Right. And it all depends on which angle you go in from. Because they have a bunch of small kitchens, you see. And then they have sort of a cooperative thing where they have, you know, I mean, lots and lots of folks who work there, but...
And they have like an entire chicken farm in there.
In fact, it's basically exactly like having a bunch of individual teriyaki restaurants, but, you know.
So, you know, they actually did a statistical analysis in Seattle. You are never more than 50 feet away from teriyaki shop. It's like spiders, only bigger.
Well, so that means there's one in my kitchen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm really hungry. I'm going to go get some.